Have you checked out my new children's book, Felipe the Feelings Frog, yet? You can get it anywhere you get books, definitely on Amazon, and you can ask your local bookstores to order it for you. Walk around the neighborhood with Felipe the Feelings Frog, who learns that there is no such thing as a bad feeling. In this kid-friendly social and emotional learning book, children will learn different strategies for regulating emotions and identifying their feelings. This is book one from the Caring Critters series. These social and emotional learning books are designed to support children ages 4 through 7 with important social and emotional skills such as kindness, impulse control, problem solving, independence, and more. These books were all written by me, a kindergarten teacher, after seeing exactly what skills my students needed help learning. They have been helping my students for years with great success. So you can grab the first book in the Caring Critters series, Felipe the Feelings Frog. It is out now, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Hey there, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe. And today we're doing something just a little different. I want to offer you a sneak peek into my most recent workshop, Step by Step, What to Do When a Child Cries All the Time. So I hope you enjoyed the sneak peek. If you are interested in hearing the whole thing, you can still purchase the recorded version of the workshop, and you can check out the other workshops that I have available as well if you like the style of learning here. And if you're looking for more topics on workshops, I am starting to plan out my summer bootcamp series, which was really fun last year. So help me come up with topics that you would be interested in learning about over the summer, and I can get to work planning those. So enjoy this little snippet of the workshop. Be sure to share with a friend, and please consider leaving a review. It would mean a lot. And I can't wait to hear what you think about the workshop. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. So that was a whole bunch of exactly what it is that what we should teach children who are crying all the time. Because when they're crying, that's communication. They're saying they need a strategy to learn, and it's probably one of those strategies. And so going through those and teaching them when they're calm is the perfect place to start. But that takes a while. That takes time, and I get it, and it's going to take time to see results. So what do we do in the exact moment when a child is crying? And it's a child that's maybe crying, that cries a lot, let's say. This is not the first time they're crying. Well, the goal is to help the children use a strategy to calm down. So we want to tell them exactly what we're noticing in a calm, matter-of-fact voice. You look really sad. And then offer a strategy that they already know to calm down. Why don't you take some deep breaths? And then check back in when they are calm to help talk through the situation and problem solve. So then you can sort of say, oh, you were upset because you forgot your folder? Is that a big problem or a small problem? That's so small. We can just be flexible today. We don't need our folder. We'll just bring it tomorrow. Oh, not a big deal. When we overreact to kids crying, we teach them that children that cry get what they want, or they get our attention, or that their problem is in fact a really big deal. So we don't want to overreact. We don't want to make a big deal about the fact that they're crying. So if they come to you crying, I know that as early childhood educators, as teachers, as caregivers, we feel bad when they're upset. And so we want to comfort them. Oh, it's sweetie, it's okay, it's okay. We'll fix this, we'll problem solve. It's gonna be okay. Let me come here, let me give you a really big hug. Oh, let me give you a snuggle. No. It's gonna be hard, but no. I mean, obviously, if this is a child that doesn't cry a lot, that all of a sudden you saw them trip and fall and now they're crying, like I'd have a completely different reaction to that. Oh, you're gonna be okay. It's okay. Let me give you a hug. Oh, see, we're okay. And then that's usually it. But for a child that's crying a lot all the time, it's just, you gotta be very matter of fact. You don't wanna give them more attention than what I've described because otherwise they're gonna learn. Oh, it's okay to cry because I'm going to get Miss McGibbons. I'm going to get my teacher's attention. So, just very matter of fact, you look upset. Why don't you go take 5 deep breaths and then we can talk about it when you're calmed down, right? And that's it. And then you walk away. So, the best strategies to use for students who are upset. So, when I said in the previous slide about offering them a strategy that they already know to calm down, these are the strategies that I would teach kids. And I would teach the first two to everyone, the calm corner, deep breathing. The rest I would save for kids that really are crying all the time. So the best strategy that we want kids to be able to do is just to calm themselves down with deep breathing in the calm corner. And we'll talk about the calm corner in just a second. But we want kids to be able to have a place to go in private where they're calming themselves down, where kids aren't looking at them. They can go and take a break and come back when they're not upset. But sometimes kids aren't ready to just take deep breaths and calm down on their own, and they need more support in the moment. So that's where these other strategies come in. And we're going to get to some of them. But the coloring is really good, and drawing a picture is really good if you don't know why they're upset and they're so upset that they can't talk to you about it. And especially if it's a child that doesn't cry all the time, I would definitely say, like, do you want to draw me a picture? Draw me a picture of what's wrong. Draw me a picture of what happened so that I can help. And as they're calming down by drawing the picture, you're also helping to figuring out what happened. And then you could talk about it when they are calm. Oh, so who's that? Oh, and who's this? And what happened between them? They said that. Would you like help solving this problem? That's what I would do. But kids who cry all the time, having them color, just have a little like coloring book for them. Yep, color one picture and then we'll come back and be all done. And or read a book, like not together because that's getting your attention, but just, okay, go read one book. It works better with older kids, but some kindergartners can read the books. You know, go read one book and then you should be calm and ready to go and come back. Or some kind of cognitive distraction or taking a walk just to take a break to like, just get distracted. The goal really is if they're not able to calm themselves down and take deep breaths, then we're offering other strategies that really help distract them into calming down. So before we get into those distractions, let's talk about the calm corner. I call it a control spot in my classroom because it's where we go to get our bodies and feelings in control. But you can call it whatever you like, cozy corner, calm corner, control spot. The idea is it's a semi-private space in like a corner of the classroom where you can keep an eye on them, but it's more hidden from other kids in the class. And it's a place for kids to go to calm down, to regulate their emotions. And I introduce this space from the very beginning of the year. And I introduce each of the tools and the visuals that are in there gradually. And then I help the kids practice with the tools. I don't just be like, here's the breathing ball. Okay, when you're upset, you can go here. No, I practice with the breathing ball. We do it as like greetings. We all practice. Anyway, we do all kinds of practice with each of the tools that are in there before I let the kids use them independently. I talk about how, you know, it's important that it's quiet in that corner. And that the goal really is to calm ourselves down, to get our bodies ready to learn again. Children can go on their own, like they don't have to ask in my room. That's how I do it anyway. If they're upset, they can just go, or they might be directed by the teacher to go. So I could say, your body's really not ready to be listening on the rug. It's very, very wiggly. Why don't you go to the control spot? Or you seem upset. Go take a minute in the control spot and then we can talk about it. See, matter of fact, calm. No real expression there, no opinion, just, oh, you're upset, go to the control spot. And The other thing I would say is give children, when you're introducing the space, give children a chance to practice using it right after you introduce it. After you introduce it, everyone's going to want to go. They're going to be like, can I go? And so I would just go through the list and be like, everyone's going to get a turn. Give them a chance to look through it, just like we would let them explore with crayons and explore with the cubes for math before we ask them to use them for any academics, before we ask them to use this space independently to calm down. We want to let them kind of explore with it a little bit and get that out of the way. But you really don't need much for this space. You just need a space that's private in the corner where kids can go to calm down. And if you want some of those tools, the three that I mentioned that were the best, in my opinion, were the breathing ball, the glitter jar, and the pinwheel. So, yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about those distractors. You could use a strategy called 5-4-3-2-1 grounding, where you go through five things that you can see, four things that you can touch, you having them name those to you. You know, like, I see you're really upset. Let's do some 5-4-3-2-1 grounding. So, what are five things that you can see right now? All right, what are four things that you can touch? And it doesn't have to be these. These are just my examples here, but it could be name five red things that you can see. Okay, let's see. What are four blue things that we can see? What are three things that start with the letter B? Whatever you think would be interesting to the child, you can do. Other cognitive distractors, where the goal really is to keep kids' mind off of what maybe they're spiraling over in their inner thoughts. This is especially good for kids who are anxious and they're getting upset from their anxiety. So something like a Where's Waldo or I Spy, they're trying to like find the difference, puzzles, crossword, word searches, Sudoku, more for older kids. Any kind of puzzles or mazes, connect the dots, color by number. Those things are really good cognitive distractors. And again, if kids are not usually crying and all of a sudden they're crying a lot and you can't calm them down, I would definitely try one of these cognitive distractors or have them draw a picture of what's wrong if they're able to do that. But yeah, if a kid is constantly crying, I would try not to use these because you don't want it to be more of a reward for crying. But if you're having trouble teaching them the strategies to self-regulate, to calm down, you could do one of these here or there to help them just calm down in the moment so that you can then talk about it with them, why they're so upset. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.